Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
On the mark this morning, referred to this as the Steve Jones Show, but in reality, it's the Kevin Hurd Get-Together.
I like the name of that show. As Mark Lawrence would say, I support and endorse that.
Lawrence and I are going to have it out. Just because he gets it doesn't mean he has to promote it that way.
Hey, about 10 o'clock last night, did you hear the sound? That was my bracket blowing up when Michigan State got dumped.
Well, that's life.
Oh, thank you, Tom. What in the world went wrong there?
It's called defense. Louisville's become a very good – Louisville's been actually a very good defensive team all season. They just haven't hit enough shots until they hit the stretch run.
Ugh. Yeah, that was a painful one last night. Yeah. I mean, 44 points? 44?
It's a relatively low number.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen high school games higher
than you're
that.
Bitter. You're bitter.
Yes,
you're
I am.
Bitter.
I'm
you're
bitter.
You're being bitter.
I am. I admit it.
You know, come on. I mean, Lawrence already said this morning, it's your show.
Good, then I can
I'm just along for the ride. So today, what we're going to do is that you're going to dictate everything that happens on the show today. I am going to react.
So you're going to be in tow this time.
Yes, I'm in tow.
Wow, this is a great moment. I wish you would have told me earlier. I would have actually prepared.
Let's get back to you on that. You know?
Yeah, I was so depressed after that last night, I stopped watching the rest of them.
I understand. I know. You're upset. What upsets you the most?
Yeah, 44 points. It's just that was... I mean, that not only did I lose a Final Four team, I lost one of the teams in the national championship and the one I picked to go the distance. Which, by the way, now, you did tell me I shouldn't have done.
Yes.
I will give you that.
Thanks for the credit. I know it's your show.
Ohio State had a nice game, though, didn't they?
Played very well.
In the little battle there between Ohio teams. I can see why Cincy would have avoided... Oh, wait. It was the other way around, wasn't it? It was Ohio State that avoided Cincy.
Well, you know, they in the second half, they finally hit a gear. And what was interesting is that Jared Sollinger played an extremely high level last night. Aaron Kraft, after a slow start, played at a high level. Lenzel Smith Jr. quietly played a strong game last night. Deshaun Thomas played well. Will Buford did not. So, and that's interesting because now they get into the championship game. If Buford hits stride, they're going to be a very dangerous team for Syracuse to play because they'll need Buford to hit outside shots against that 2-3 zone. All right. The Lady Lion basketball team, by the way, Kevin, has a big game against UConn Sunday at 4:34.
4:34?
That's the exact tip time.
Please tell me there's a reason for 4:34.
TV.
No, is there a TV reason, though?
Yeah, they start out with a pregame at 4:30, and they take about 2 minutes, take a break, then start at 4:34.
Wow, that's a short pregame.
Well, it's just a transition for them between that and the first game.
All right.
Or whatever game it happens to be. We're joined now by Fred Schimmel, who is the assistant coach for the Lady Lion basketball program. And, Fred, let's start out with this. The Lady Lions won at Purdue. They won at LSU. Now they have to play in Kingston, which is a stone's throw from Storrs. What are the elements that made the Lady Lions a good road team this year? What have you seen in this team on the road?
I think they're just battle tested. You know, we've had some great experiences on the road. Big Ten Conference, every game, you know, is just a tough game and in a tough environment. And I think it's got us ready. So all those games we've played up to this point, it's going to come in handy.
Once you got into the NCAA tournament, you also had Ariel Edwards come back. What has that meant to the depth and also the style of your team?
Well, you know, Ariel is very versatile. She gets on the floor. She can play, you know, one through four positions for us. And she's a defensive stopper for us. So she provides us with a lot of flexibility, versatility, and you know, she's capable of putting up good numbers at any time. So we definitely love the fact that she came back and it was just the right time, and she got a little rest and she seems refreshed and ready to go. So turned out good.
Backcourt play always very important at this time of the year because they handle the ball literally about 70% of the time, 75% of the time. Let's start with Alex Bentley. In the growth and maturity of Alex Bentley, what have you seen in her that's made her one of the top point guards in the country in women's basketball?
Well, you know, she's always had that just tenacity, relentlessness to her. Not always the great decision-making and the cerebral part of the game, and I think that's coming to her. Kukwis has done a great job of kind of nurturing her and letting her learn by, you know, trial by fire, and now she's going to reap the rewards of that. She makes great decisions. She makes big shots in big moments without hesitation. So it's been a process. You know, I just joined. This is the end of my second year. Coquise has done a great job, and she started since day one of trying to develop the team that she has now.
Fred, at the same time, early in his career, in her career, when you didn't see her, there were moments where she would be going about 50 miles per hour and the basketball would be going 40. That's not a good combination. You grow and mature. Have you noticed in her the old John Wooden, be quick, don't rush?
Well, you know, I think it's more along the lines of getting to learn how to play at that speed. She's always wanted to push the ball, always wanted to get out in transition, always wanted to play an up-tempo style game. And that's, you know, that's a fun game of basketball. The kids like it. The coaching staff loves it. The fans love it. So she's always wanted to get to that point. Now, did she always have the horses? Maybe not. Has she developed them? Yes. Has she brought in more? Yes. And I think people just learn how to play at that pace after, you know, 2, 3, 4 years of learning how to push the ball, what you're looking for, what she's asking of you. And not only that, just the their young bodies developing into, you know, major college athletes from high school athletes. I think it's just a total process.
And also, people get added in that understand how to play that. Maggie Lucas was added in last year. The maturity of going from a freshman to a sophomore and developing a game, what have you seen in Maggie Lucas that is taking her from being a really good freshman to being an outstanding sophomore?
Yeah, well, Maggie works at it. I don't know if you know anything about Maggie Lucas, but she's a worker. She loves the game. She respects the game. She always wants to learn. She's one of the best students I've ever had. And she wants to develop to be more than just a shooter. She's worked hard on the defensive end, just understanding her space and opponents and her strengths and weaknesses, and also in her offensive game. She's done more than just be a spot-up shooter, just be a 1-2 dribble pull-up shooter. She's developed her pivot game. She's developed her dribble drive game. She's gotten to the free throw line more. So, you know, she's done a great job of putting herself in a position to succeed, and it's been hard work.
And part of that hard work also was in conditioning, because it looked at the end of last season, Fred, that the legs were starting to go a little bit, which is typical of any freshman. You hit the wall February 1st, 9 times out of 10 most freshmen. This year, she seems to me, Fred, to be as fresh now as she was in December.
You're right, yeah. And along with that, you know, the maturity of knowing when to run and when to slow down and pace yourself and, you know, not running through brick walls. And, you know, she's done a good job of just kind of embracing the game, the style of play, and understanding things a little bit more. And she's going to get even better as time goes on. And and be more efficient. So there's nothing but good things for her.
Has Zsa Gray been an X factor for you, Fred?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, she's those points that we need. You have a primary, secondary, maybe even a third portion score, and then all of a sudden, you know, Zsa breaks out with 18 points, and it just puts you over the top to the, you know, into the 80, 90, 100-point mark. And that's the type of separation we need, especially in a shootout. These fast-paced games, these great athletes, the SEC teams, the, you know, the people that we're facing, they love to push the ball or they love to pressure up. So the game gets increased, the speed gets increased. And she does a great job of being that secondary third scorer for us.
Very pleased to be joined by Fred Shamil, who is the assistant coach for the Lady Lion basketball team. The Lady Lions will play in the Sweet 16 Sunday when they take on UConn at the Ryan Center in Kingston in the 7,500-seat bandbox that they'll play in there. And inside, Nikki Green, I mean, what do you like about the inside game, and what kind of balance at both ends of the floor have the inside people given? I know that's Marin's area.
Well, you know, Nikki has always been a great defensive stopper for us. I think, you know, last year we were a defensive work in progress. We really hadn't figured out, you know, how good we could be on defense, and she was kind of the anchor. We pushed everything to her. She blocked the shot and you know, made it tough for opposing teams to score. She always got the defensive board. Well, now she's expanded her game to being a more consistent scorer. You always saw those little flashes of brilliance last year, but they're more frequent now, and we need that from her to beat championship caliber teams. To beat those kind of teams, you need interior scoring, you need balance, and she's definitely provided that for us, especially down the stretch.
Let's get to UConn for a moment. UConn, what, 30-4, I believe, is the record, but stunningly did lose twice at home this year. St. John's beat them at Gamble, and then at the Civic Center, Notre Dame beat them. But Notre Dame, of course, is, you know, among the elite, and probably St. John's is within the top 25 right, consistently. But for once, there was a dent in the armor. But how well since the Big East tournament, when you've looked at tape, how well has UConn played since the start of the Big East tournament?
You know, the good thing about those teams is they're very consistent. They're not going to have too many drop-offs. There's always going to be that high level of play. And, you know, like you said, the chink in the armor is probably, you know, one of their strengths, but it turns into one of their weaknesses if you can exploit it, and that's their size. They have one true center, and then they play with four guards. We, you know, are a more conventional team. We have a center, we have a four, and we have three perimeter players. We have great size off the bench. They do not. So, you know, it's going to be a battle of wills, much like LSU, with great athletes, great rebounders. We had great scores. They had a great defensive team holding people to 60 points. We put up 90. So it's going to end up being a battle of wills. And you know, it's about discipline. It's about doing what you do and doing it well and taking care of business on the road.
Fred, they're great defensive teams, and then there's giving up 26 points in an NCAA second-round game. That's a little silly.
Yeah, well, you know, they're conditioned to just be relentless and ferocious, and if you show them a sign of weakness, they're really going to get after it. But if you can kind of put them on their heels, maybe offensively, we can do that a little bit. We have the firepower to do that. And not let them attack you so much, more of being on the attack, I think it'll be a different situation.
The other part, too, is the confidence part. UConn many times walks into a building and everybody, that's UConn, okay, we're done. All right. You don't have that, okay? you are two of the 16 teams remaining out of 345 that can win the Women's Basketball National Championship. Mentally, it just sounds to me like you are toe-to-toe with them mentally right now.
Yeah, we have a hard time backing down from anybody. If anything, we get too juiced up, too amped up to play our opponents. We never have a letdown like that. You know, and Coquise made a great point about, you know, we're not playing the people of UConn lore. We're not playing Taurasi. We're not playing Maya Moore. We're playing the people who are there now, the Bria Hartleys and, you know, the Tiffany Hayes. So, you know, we've got a pretty good handle on personnel and what we need to do, and we stay pretty much focused on the game plan.
Yes, and one quick note to the fans. Rebecca Lobo, Jen Rosati, Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, Maya Moore are all, as my broadcast partner on the Men's Basketball Network would say, Dick Girardi, gone. All right, so not there any longer.
They are not walking through that door.
No, not walking through that door. And the other part, too, is, and Fred, and this is something that I think a lot of people never do grasp. Every team, even when there are veterans and they go from year to year, every team takes on its own personality. UConn has its own personality this year. You have your own personality this year. Every team, every season has its own personality. And there isn't as much carryover as people realize, because over a 3.5-4 month period, you have to deal with a lot of different items.
That's a good point. I think UConn has held the standards more than that lore. I think, you know, he holds them to a high standard. He expects a lot of them, and he doesn't let that waver too much year to year.
At the same time, the old saying with great moments are born from great opportunities. For the Lady Lion basketball team, you're around these kids. You're around, you know, and of course, as a staff, are you sensing the moment and the opportunity?
It's definitely a great opportunity. It's definitely a great opportunity. You know, you talk about women's basketball teams, and you always bring up the UConns. You always bring up, you know, now the Baylors. You always bring up the Notre Dames. We want to be in that same breath. I think that's Coquise's vision. It always has been. And I think, you know, with the kids, the way they play, the way they think, and just the way that they carry themselves, I think, you know, we definitely have an opportunity to do that.
Fred, I want to thank you for the time you gave us, because I know you're busy trying to get ready. You're leaving later this afternoon to fly up to Providence to Green Airport and then settle in. But I want to wish you the best of luck. You and Coquise, yourself, Marin, the entire staff, team, they have re-energized this area about how they feel about women's basketball and how great the program can be. We congratulate you on that, but also wish you the best of luck, because you are far from finished.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate our support. We appreciate our fans, and thank you for putting us on. We appreciate your time as well.
Fred Shamil, the assistant coach for the Lady Lion basketball team. They play UConn in Kingston Sunday at 4:34, a time that made Kevin laugh.
4:34 and 26 seconds.
Tim Tebow time.
Tim Tebow time.
24 after the hour. Back with more intriguing talk, which is what we do on the Kevin Hurst Show. As Mark Lawrence would say, Steve Jones in tow here on WKOK.
This is Hollywood, where we've added more world-class table games than ever before. Now you can play all the blackjack, all the craps, roulette, and poker you want, wherever you want. Plus, we've got a bad beat poker jackpot that could go up to tens of thousands of dollars. Your table is waiting. So start winning big at Hollywood, where the stage is set and the whole cast is here. From the crowd-pleasing chefs in the kitchen to the movers and shakers on the dance floor, from the dealers directing the action to the blockbuster winners and breakout stars. Here, you've got the lead role, because there's no place like Hollywood Casino. Just minutes from Harrisburg and Hershey. Take I-81 to exit 80. Must be 21 or older to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-565-2112 for help.
If you have filed your income tax and you're waiting for it to hit your bank account, get down to Front Street Motors at the wall in Sunbury, because we're going to match your refund up to $3,000 on your next car, truck, van, or SUV. If you don't have any money coming back, we're going to give you $500 down. If you have damaged credit, we're going to get you financed. The last vouchers went out in the mail. If you didn't get one, come down to Front Street Motors. We have extra here. Saturday at 3 o'clock, this program is going to be officially over. And don't forget about our service. We got Butch Buck, Jimmy Sikorski, and the crew. Stop by, no appointment necessary, or call 286-9718.
And don't forget, this Saturday, folks, income tax matching ends. You got to get into Front Street Motors this Saturday by 3 o'clock. Front Street Motors at the Wall, Sunbury.
It's the feeling you get when everything's just right. At Front Street Motors. Susquehanna Valley RV.
Get up and get away this camping season with help from Susquehanna Valley RV, Route 522 Sealands Grove, and Route 11 Bloomsburg. Get in now and see for yourself there is an RV priced right for you. They have been sharing the camping experience with people just like you for over 29 years. New RVs arriving daily and friendly financing is no problem. Due to the success of the Bloomsburg Fairgrounds RV event, Susquehanna Valley RV is offering top dollar on trades. Check out the parts department for all the camping accessories. Susquehanna Valley RV backs all sales with a fully experienced service department to keep you camping longer. They know there is an RV that's right for you. Susquehanna Valley RV will show you how. Route 522 Sealands Grove and Route 11 Bloomsburg.
There's an exciting new world waiting for you at Susquehanna Valley RV. A camper's best friend.
Weekdays from 10 a.m. till noon, join Dan Patrick on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
That's something you got to think about. Who would play you in a movie?
Jason Bateman. Not that I had that answer ready.
And you're about what? Are you 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'3".
I'm not sure what he is, but most actors you see on television, you think they're 6 foot and they're like 5'6".
They're stumpy. Who would you, I'm thinking?
Dude.
For you, Jason Statham.
Statham, that's what I was going to say.
Right. Dan will talk all things sports and more. Dan Patrick, weekdays 10 till noon and again from 7 to 10 p.m. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.
As Mark Warren said this morning, it really is the Kevin Hurst show.
I like the sound of that.
Email from management. Don't ever refer to it as that again. What does that mean?
I'm not sure. I think there might have been a little tone in that, you know.
No, that seemed bitter.
I don't know. It might have been sarcastic.
No, it seems angry. It didn't really work out for you.
Yeah, well, it was nice for the 28 minutes and 24 seconds of Tebow time that it lasted.
No. I think that we'll go the entire day with saying it's the Kevin Hurst. In fact, you know what? When we open up the phone lines, that's what I want to find out. Want to find out how much you should be included in the naming of the show.
Oh, boy.
What do you mean, oh, boy?
I'm not sure I want to know the answer.
I want people to get emotionally invested in the show.
Okay.
And this is where, who knows? I mean, you may find out that in a short period of time, there's been immense Kevin Hurst popularity. You may have swung all the doubters your way.
I don't know. My Twitter feed did jump a little bit the last couple of weeks.
Not surprised. So is mine.
Yes, it has. In all seriousness, it had a nice little jump there. And I think it was finally because people heard that you actually did tweet.
I have tweeted. I've given it a shot. Guy that's taken a few shots at the plate of late is a senior first baseman for the Nittany Lion baseball team named Jordan Steranko, out of Pittsburgh. He's hitting .368. They open up the Big Ten season. It's Indiana tonight, three-game series at Medley Field, Lebronto Park. We'll hear from Jordan Steranko after the news at the bottom of the hour. Then all open line time with you and Kevin Herr on WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We're going to get those recut.
What are we doing?
It's Kevin Hurst Show.
Oh, you want the opens recut.
With special guest Steve Jones.
What? You're special.
I have to get something out of this.
You're right.
After Mark Lawrence this morning just basically put it out in plain English, it's really your show, and I'm just along for the ride. I can adapt. I have no choice but to adapt. We're really just all together in the Kevin Hur passion play.
Okay. I've got no comeback for that.
We are just pawns, all of us, in the Kevin Hur passion play.
Okay. I didn't realize you carried that much power.
After you drove the Manning and Tebow watch for weeks you drove it. Now, I did silly things like preview the NCAA tournament and, you know.
And there aren't like many that. Upsets in the tournament.
No, not really. Just ones that have upset you.
Yeah.
That's what an upset is.
Yes, Michigan State would be one of those that would qualify. You're right.
Yes, you're upset right now.
Is Florida's win considered an upset?
I mean,
seeding-wise it is, but...
But that's Florida. That's Billy Donovan. That's been around the block. I played toe-to-toe with Kentucky in the semifinals, lost by 3 in the SEC tournament. So, it'd be a mild one, but not a tremendous one. And are there upsets at this level? I don't think there are any upsets at this level.
When you get to the 8, it's hard to call it an upset unless there's somebody really deep in the tournament that has made it.
I think when you get to 16, I think it's the idea of an upset is off the boards.
Now, the question is, with Duke's loss right out of the gate, is that part of the reason Austin Rivers is done at Duke and wants to go into the NBA? I mean, what's the thought on a freshman leaving a program like Duke that didn't have its best year, but didn't have an awful year, and then going right into the NBA?
It has nothing to do with his team season. It has to do with the fact that he's talked to his father, and his father has talked to other people, and they've found out that there's a good chance he's a lottery pick. If they won the national championship, he would have gone. If they lost in this round, he would have gone. If they lost in the Elite Eight, he would have gone. If they lost in the first round, he would have gone.
How much of a risk is that?
Oh, it's a risk because he's hired an agent, but I think that he's received... If you receive information that you're a lottery pick, okay? If you receive that kind of... Let's face it, and his father had... His connections can't be any better.
I would hope his father would know if he was going to be a pick or not.
No, but you talk to other people. You don't just take dad's word for it. I mean, Doc Rivers would not just say, you're a lottery pick, come on out. Right? Because, I mean, his other son went to Georgetown and went to Indiana, and he was a functional college basketball player, and he played all 4 years, right? This is a different ballgame. And he's talked to people he trusts in the league. And after talking with people he trusts in the league, getting a consensus, the feeling is he's a lottery pick. He'll be one of the first dozen guys picked.
Should there be a rule in NBA, NFL, I look at those two more than any of the other major sports, but should there be a rule that you have to be at least a junior before you can declare yourself eligible?
Well, in the NFL, you have to at least be in your have completed 3 years of school.
Okay.
That's already a rule.
Okay.
Now, there are very few redshirt sophomores that have ever come out. Tommy Maddox was one. He was a redshirt sophomore at UCLA, but he had finished 3 years of school. He just had only played 2. So if you're a redshirt sophomore and beyond, you can enter the NFL draft. In the NBA, you must be 19 years of age and have completed 1 year of college. So those are the rules that are already in place. I personally feel the rule in the NBA should be 20 and 2 years of college.
No, wait, say that again.
I said, I personally feel instead of 1 year and 19 years of age, I would prefer to see them say 2 years of college and 20 years of age.
Okay, all right, I got you.
In the NBA, to enter the NBA. But right now it's 1 year and 19 years of age.
I think you should at least have to play through 2 years.
And so we agree.
Yeah, I don't really have a rhyme or reason for that. I just think it's very, you know, I'm not a big fan of kids coming out of high school and all of a sudden looking at the NBA and avoiding, you know, college. I mean, it's not, well, it's rarely successful.
That's why they changed it.
Right, but it's rarely successful.
Right. Nobody does that anymore because of the rule. The rule says you must go for a year and be at least 19 years of age.
But that also puts a lot of pressure on these universities. I mean, here's a scholarship that Rivers got for Duke. They recruited him, and now after 1 year, bye-bye, got to go. Now we got to start all over again.
But you know that when you recruit certain players.
That's true.
Okay, when Taylor Battle was recruited to Penn State, as outstanding a player as Taylor Battle became, there was never any fear that after 1 year he was leaving. You were only talking about the guys that are in that upper echelon of the top 20 players that make the transition from high school to college. And even then, some of them are, more and more of them are making decisions not to do it. Jarrett Sullinger, for example, everybody expected him to leave Ohio State last year early, and he decided to stay. I think Cody Zeller is going to stay at least another year in Indiana. A little bigger, a little stronger, and so forth. His brother just is in his senior year now at North Carolina.
If the NFL had rules similar to the NBA, would we see more college players leaving for the NFL earlier?
Those not cutting it in school, yes.
You're thinking this would be a grade issue, not necessarily a talent issue alone.
Right, it's not just a talent issue. But I think what's happened is that at the bare minimum with the 1 year of college rule for the NBA, there have been some players that I think were seniors in high school that would have entered the NBA draft out of high school that after going through a year of college have found out what they actually do need to work on and have not jumped to the NBA and have come back for a second year. Now, I'm not saying Sullinger's in that boat. I think Sullinger was smart enough to know that while he could have been one of the top five or six picks last year, I think he was smart enough to know there were certain things he needed to work on in his own game.
Problem is, you make a decision like this and it doesn't work out, your future in the NBA is definitely going to be tainted. It's not like you can go back and start over.
No, but you're guaranteed a three-year contract when you're a first-round pick. It's a guaranteed three-year contract.
Make your money while you can, I guess.
I mean, it's a guaranteed three-year contract. If you're a second-round pick, you don't have that. But if you're a first-round pick, you get a guaranteed three-year deal.
Now, if he didn't talk to an agent, let's say hypothetically he has not talked to an agent, there's a certain amount of time before the draft that he could actually pull his name out and still be eligible. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
You can do so,
I think, by mid-May.
But once you talk to an agent or sign with an agent, it's over.
You are in. Your college days are officially
now,
over.
Is it talk to an agent or sign an agent? I mean, how's that?
Sign.
Okay. Well, there's so many interesting rules in the NCAA that I'm never quite sure I understand how everyone works.
Right. So that's how that works. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment, but let's talk a little bit about Penn State baseball. Three-game weekend series come up with Indiana. Penn State won its game on Wednesday over Pitt, 5-3. Jordan Steranko, the outstanding first baseman for the Nittany Lions, drove in four, including a home run. He's in his senior season with Penn State. They are 4-14, but a fresh start tonight with Indiana. He joins us on the line now. Stank, great to have you with us.
Hey, how you doing, Steve? It's great to be here.
Great to be with you. 368 this year for our guy. Three home runs. He's knocked in 10. He had a big day, knocked in 4 on Wednesday in the victory over Pitt. For you, everything is in baseball is an at-bat-to-at-bat deal, but have you found at least some level of comfort at the plate?
Oh, yeah. You know, started out a little slow at the beginning of the year, but kind of got my swing back in the line, so I've been feeling great all year since the beginning of the year. So I'm, you know, just working each day at the swing, working on little things, but finally starting to feel really good, so excited about it.
You've also had to make the adjustment because you played so long at third base. You're now playing at first base. What has the adjustment been like flipping sides of the infield for you?
A couple adjustments. I played first when I was younger a lot, but, you know, there's some routine things I need to learn, bunt plays, communication with the pitchers and second base. And so there's some adjustments that need to be made still, but overall I'm starting to feel really comfortable there, so it's been nice.
People are aware of the overall record, but you beat Pitt at home in your home opener on Wednesday night, 5-3. The Big Ten is a fresh start, Jordan. And with that in mind, has that been the talk in the clubhouse?
Yeah. It's definitely the mindset right now. It's a fresh start. You know, our record isn't – I don't think it's a really good indication at all of how we played. We played some really good teams down south for our spring break trip and some other trips. We've been playing pretty good ball. So kind of our mindset right now is, you know, fresh start at home up north. First game was Pitt on Wednesday, played great. So just leading right up to Big Ten play tonight. So, yeah, it's kind of our mindset right now, just fresh start, you know, and we're really looking forward to get after it tonight.
Positive, optimistic outlook by you. At the same time, as you look around the clubhouse and you see so many familiar faces, what do you base that positive outlook on based on the guys that you have played baseball with a long time now?
Exactly. It's definitely the senior leadership. You know, we had a lot of guys back. Joey DeBernardis, Sean Deegan, even our pitching staff. You know, Johnny Walter, Steve Hill, Joe Karash, all older guys. So definitely it's that kind of mindset of just senior leadership, take it one game at a time, and things will fall into place.
Medlar Field, Lebronto Park. It's a great place. I mean, let's face it. I think I know after I probably have broadcast what 300-400 games there now in my career, especially with the spikes in some Penn State baseball. But it's a great doubles and triples park. For you, you drive the ball. What have you found to be great about playing at that park?
No, I like the right field line. You know, it's they have the high bleachers there, but it's 320 down the line. Kind of, I think it's the same dimensions as PNC, where I'm from in Pittsburgh. But, you know, I like the short right porch in right field, so it's kind of nice having that. I know some righties complain about the left field being kind of long, but it's definitely a hitter's ballpark, double triples in the gaps. I know the pitchers like it too, you know, because it's a kind of a deep park. But I really like the right field line and just the gap there in right center.
Yeah, and that gap's right there at 375 and 320 down the line and right. Now, even though you're a Pittsburgh guy, I know your favorite guy is Alex Rodriguez. Why?
Yes. Just his work ethic. You know, I've seen hitting videos online that he's done. I've watched interviews and just, you know, he kind of takes a nonchalant approach to the game, but it's not a true testament to how hard he works. You know, he takes, I think I was reading 300, 400 swings a day, you know, just constant hard work every day in the weight room, on the field. So, you know, that's a guy I try to just tailor my game after each day.
It's interesting because there was a period of time when he was coming back from an injury where he had to go down to Florida, and he had to work with the Gulf Coast Yankees at one point. And I was talking to several of the Spikes last summer because they played against him. They say the one thing that struck them right away is how big a man he is.
Wow.
I mean, that he's 6'5", 6'6". That's the first thing they say about Peyton Manning as well. Next part. Your favorite athlete is not a baseball player. It's Roger Federer. Why?
Yeah. You know, that's a funny thing. You know, this is kind of a funny story. I always grew up watching tennis and always admired the skill it took to play that sport. And, you know, you're playing a match for 2 hours in the sun and it takes a lot out of you. And he always, throughout the whole competition, would just have a total mindset, each swing to swing and each, like, volley to volley. And, you know, he's just a great athlete. And I love how he just carries himself on and off the court. And he's always just a stand-up guy, so I like him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great guy to pick because, obviously, a level of consistency.
Yeah.
When he wins with grace. When it doesn't go his way, he exits with class.
Exactly, yeah.
For you now, moving forward, what kind of read have they given you on Indiana, at least at this point, when they talked a little bit about the scouting report?
You know, they have a really good arm tonight throwing. I think he was all Big Ten last year, lefty. Actually, three lefties this weekend, each of their starters. So, you know, they're going to be a good ball club. You know, they're coached very well. They're going to have some offensive pop, play decent defense, and have some good arms on the mound. So we just got to play our game, you know, to take it one pitch at a time, one inning at a time.
And that for you, of course, if they're going to start three lefties, there you are as a left-handed hitter.
Exactly, yeah.
We know, obviously, when it's a righty, it gets into the wheelhouse. What kind of adjustments have you made at the plate over the years to make yourself a better hitter against left-handed pitchers?
I think the one major thing has just been pitch selection. You know, staying in my hitting zone, what I've come up with. I know as a senior now, guys, pitchers have thrown me all kind of stuff to try to get me to chase and just chase some junk out of the zone. So I just got to stay focused And I might only get one or two pitches in a bat that I can maybe even go after. But if not, I'll just take my walk and, you know, let the guys behind me drive me in.
How different are you as a player from the guy that was on the Big Ten All-Rookie team in 2009 to now the senior we see today? Where do you sense that you're better? Where do you sense the maturity comes in?
I think it's just some senior leadership. You know, I know a lot of guys on the team kind of look up to me and how I handle myself in certain situations. I know one game, for instance, this season, I was actually 0-for-4 with four strikeouts. And I know I don't, you know, I'm not a big guy, vocal guy, throwing my helmet and all that kind of stuff. So I think that is a main thing, just kind of my leadership, how I handle my handle myself in certain situations. I think that kind of brushes off on some of the younger guys, and I think that's a good thing to, you know, look up to and learn on.
The weather, of course, has been outstanding here the last couple of weeks, and it was outstanding when you played Wednesday night. And I think you had almost 1,500 people at the ballpark on Wednesday. When you play at home in front of a crowd like that, I mean, obviously you're trying to focus in, and baseball is certainly a game of focus. But still, there are moments in the field where you'll look around and see what's around you. What does it mean to the guys when you have that kind of support in the stands?
It was unbelievable, honestly. The 4 years I've been here, for a home opener, to have that many people was just amazing. I think all the guys realized that, too. We were in the field, and we were just looking up out into the crowd, and there's 1,200 people. It was unbelievable. So, you know, that's just, it means a lot for the community to come out and support us, and we really appreciate that. And hopefully they'll continue on. Hopefully we keep on winning. They keep it coming. So really, really appreciate it.
Everything kicks into gear tonight. 6:05, first pitch tonight when they take on Indiana, three-game weekend series. I will let you get back to work, Jordan, and get ready for the big series and see how it goes. You sweep it, you're 3-0. It doesn't matter what happened before that, right?
Yep. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
Jordan Steranko, the outstanding first baseman for the Nittany Lion baseball team. And Kevin, he has a great opportunity to not only be first team all Big Ten, but he is a draftable college baseball player without question, because he can play both third or first.
And you listen to him when you did that interview, and when you do that interview and you listen to him, you hear the confidence that he has in himself, but also how grounded he is about it. That's what always impresses me with young players, how they can have that confidence and yet still be as grounded as they are when they have that kind of talent.
You know, I've really found out, Kevin, in doing minor league baseball, broadcasting the state college spikes, and I'll do 50 to 55 games this summer. Very relaxing, enjoyable experience for me. I think the spikes were very concerned early on because I broadcast Penn State football and I broadcast Penn State basketball as to whether I would stay, you know, excited about what was going on because it was the minor leagues. And what they discovered right away is I love the game. Franchise is an absolute blast, and I enjoy the job very, very much. So that was alleviated after about 3 weeks, okay? And I'm going into my seventh season working there. When I interview the players, you find that they are grounded to the point where they feel like they're on an at-bat-by-at-bat basis or a pitch-by-pitch basis, that they don't get themselves too high or too low because it's the nature of the sport.
You know,
there's one guy, though, I can remember that the manager of the team absolutely did not like at all first year because he thought he was too cocky, too arrogant. The kid's name was Mark Hamilton. Yeah, I think he's in line to be the starting first baseman for the Cardinals this year, replacing Pujols.
You know, there might be a little reason there to have an attitude.
And I liked Hamilton. I personally liked him. I liked Mark a lot. He had 8 home runs in a month here. 8 home runs in a month. And this is not a home run ballpark, as Jordan Steranko was pointing out. It's not a home run park. A friend of mine was participating in the home run derby when they had the New York Penn League All-Star game. He comes in, and he's bragging to his buddies. Outstanding. He's bragging to his buddies. He says, this is the celebrity home run derby. He says, I'll hit 8 or 9 out. I said, you won't hit any. He says, what do you mean? He says, you won't hit one. I said, you have no idea how far out that is. And this guy was a really good high school baseball player in his day. All right? I introduce him. He comes to the plate. He takes 4 swings, calls me over, leans over, and says, you were right.
What's the dimensions of the ballpark now? I don't remember.
Exactly the same as PNC Park in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Exactly the same.
I did hear that now that you mentioned it.
It's 325 down the left field line, 378 to the scoreboard and left, 410 to the notch, which they call the Nittany Nook in left center, 399 to dead center, 375 to right center, 320 down the line and right.
Yeah, after you said that, I remembered that that's where the dimensions came.
Wall 7 feet high until they get to the scoreboard, then it goes to 8 feet high, and then in right field, the wall is 18.55 high with a grandstand above it. At PNC Park, that wall's 21 feet high in right field for Roberto Clemente. At Penn State, it's 18.55 high for the fact that Penn State was founded in 1855. We will come back with more of the Steve Jones Show. I'm sorry. I get so used to habits. The Kevin Herr Show. I'm trying to remember how Mark phrased my role. like time killer or something like that.
After this.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make the month of March Sunbury Motors Hyundai Month. During the month of March, test drive any new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, and you'll receive a $15 Brewers Outlet gift card. Why should you test drive a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai? Well, listen to these awards. The 2012 Hyundai Sonata is the winner of Lowest Cost of Ownership by Kelley Blue Book. And the 2012 Hyundai Elantra was named Best Car Under $20,000 by AOL.auto.com. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And every Hyundai purchased at Sunbury Motors Hyundai receives an additional set of tires. If you're looking for a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
This is William Payne, music director and conductor of the Susquehanna Valley Chorale. You're listening to perhaps the greatest work by one of the world's foremost composers, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Requiem was Mozart's last composition, and the chorale will be performing this tremendous masterpiece at our upcoming spring concert. And we'll be joined by the SVC Orchestra, plus four world-class guest soloists. Kristen Dubenian-Smith, Caroline Wara, James Barbato, and Timothy Lefevre. Please join us for what promises to be a dramatic, audience-pleasing event.
Don't miss the Susquehanna Valley Chorale's performance of Mozart's Requiem. Saturday, March 24th at 7:30 and Sunday, the 25th at 3 o'clock, Zion Lutheran Church in Sunbury. Tickets online or at the door. Visit svcmusic.org. That's svcmusic.org.
You already know, Topahawken Mountain Spring Water is delivered to your door in a variety of sizes and containers. Now, they are the proud distributor of Mountainside Coffee, offering 100% Colombian coffee. Assorted teas and hot chocolate delivered right to your business or organization. There's never a fee for equipment and delivery is free. Topahawken Mountain Spring Water and Mountainside Coffee, there's no better duo on earth. Visit online at topahawkenwater.com to see how you can take advantage of this winning combination.
All right, we need to get Mark Lawrence on the line briefly.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do. I want to find out the exact verbiage this morning so we get it right.
All right, I will work on that during the news.
He can just come on the air and just do it.
All right.
I just want to know. I want to make sure that we're doing the show exactly the way he promoted the show this morning.
You want to make sure it's word for word, verbatim.
I want to at least be in the neighborhood.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to overstate your role, and I don't want to overstate my role. Nothing like the Sealands Grove Orchestra. Don't they sound great?
Led by a guy from the New Jersey, Philadelphia area.
Well done.
Thank you.
Next hour, open lines. Lot to talk about. I want to hear from you at 1-800-795-9565. Let's close out the week talking to one another.